Welcome to the Marketing Millennials, the No BS Marketing Podcast. I'm Daniel Murray, and join me for unfiltered conversations with the brains behind marketing's coolest companies. The one request I tell our guests, stories or it didn't happen. Get ready to turn the f*** up.
This is why influencing is a scam. The biggest scam that nobody talks about is because they will take your money, post to their audience, get their engagement rate, and do no sales. I know brands and agency owners that have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on friends of mine and never made it back. And then they go, well, it's called awareness. I'm like, there's a better way to generate awareness than your shitty TikTok of you unboxing their product in your kitchen.
This episode is sponsored by Wistia. Wistia is the all-in-one video platform for business. With Wistia, you can create, post, and publish professional quality videos with nothing but a laptop. Try Wistia for free at wistia.com/millennials. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Millennials. Today, I have London on the podcast. Yes, it's the guy from Spy Kids, not from Home Alone. If you're watching this video, he is a Spy Kids.
behind him, but... The only introduction you need, if you have extra credits in Spy Kids, that's all anybody needs to know about you. That is the only reason I'm here today.
It's especially in a millennial podcast, you can't get better. Spike.
There's nothing. Started us.
Let's get into how you got into marketing, though. The creator landscape, all that cool stuff, and then we'll talk more about it later.
Just to preface everything, I'm like this weird anomaly that's like inside two matrixes at the same time. So I have like this vast knowledge of marketing and advertising because of like my professional career, and then all of a sudden I became a creator, and you can't do both. You really can't do both. So I live in this really weird space where I do marketing, traditional marketing, you know, TV ads, YouTube ads, but then I'm also putting out my own content. And this all got started because, I mean, I wanted to be a YouTuber. And this thought process started in 2015 when I heard this crazy stat about Logan Paul making $50,000 off of one video. I think he was doing Vine at the time. This is this article, and I'm sitting at my day job making $28,000 a year. And I'm like, okay, somebody's making that much money. And not everything I do is for money, obviously, but that just was the thought, like, oh, maybe I could make a good living off of doing videos, which is what I've always wanted to do. So I picked up a camera. I started doing my own little YouTube videos. They were all horrible and cringy. They don't even exist anymore. I wish I didn't delete them, but back then I deleted them. And then I was doing this for many years, just like posting, not taking it too serious, not really doing research, not trying to figure it out, not figuring out thumbnails and hashtags and all these little hacks you have to do. And then I actually got hired as a creative director at a new agency. Like they had hired like four people. I was four people before me. I was one of the first people in there. And the agency kind of blew up. We started making a lot of money. We started doing a lot of crazy commercials. And I just got to see how and why people buy and click on videos. Why people buy products from a video, why people click on a video, why people watch it from a video. So I took that marketing knowledge and was like, okay, maybe I could hop back on the horse and do YouTube. And this was right in 2019 when TikTok came out. So I'm like, okay, I kind of get online customer behavior. I'm going to try to apply this to a TikTok. And within a year, I had, you know, 4 million on TikTok or whatever. So then I was caught between influencer marketing and traditional marketing. That's still kind of where I am today. And so I think back to my job when I was like, you know, working in the agency. Have you ever done agency work?
Yeah, for sure. I've done it both. I've been in brand and I've worked on the agency side. They're both way different experiences.
Dude, agency life is brutal, man.
agency life is brutal. You know, you're tasked with stepping into somebody else's brand and making it perform within weeks. And that's just not how it usually works. Like, so I think during that time, I was like, dude, I can't stand my job. I want to be a creator. But then my job was the only reason I became a big creator. So there's these like, there's this tug of war that a lot of people in marketing play with nowadays when they're trying to build a TikTok or build an Instagram or build a YouTube channel. So the short of it is I'm caught in between both worlds and thriving in a lot of ways.
I love that. I always say to people that the best marketers, people always talk about the T-shaped marketer, but I think like the table shape marketer are the best. Like if you can be great at like content creation and understand like paid advertising or understand, like for me, I was marketing ops. And then I also had this passion for content and social on the side. So I understood all what marketing does. And then it helped me become way better at operator when it came to being a creator. So I had two different unique, different skills that combined it to make me a more unique. Because if you can be like top 5% in advertising and the top 5% in content creator, then you're just like the top 1% or less in both professions together. But I want to go into talking about the big differences that you've learned between traditional marketing that people are doing in brand versus this crazy influencer space that keeps blowing up from the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences. And I actually have a very big LinkedIn post that did a couple hundred thousand views, a couple thousand likes. And the title of it was Influencer Marketing is a Scam. And then they go to my bio and I'm like an influencer. So it was this really contradictory statement I put out that I've doubled down on this statement since. So let's back up to when I quit my job as a creative director and went full-time TikTok and Instagram. This was October of 2020. When I stepped into influencer marketing, I had a little taste of it. My sister was one of the first real Instagrammers here in Utah. And she was one of the first like 1,000 people to hit 10,000 followers on Instagram. I mean, was doing it, in 2012. So I had this sense of like influencers can get paid. And Zoe would get $5,000 to post a picture, right? I had this sense of how influencers make money. And then I also had this sense of how brands make money because we were always getting the paychecks to run ads, to make content and put them online. So I had both understandings. When I first stepped out and got my first brand deal, let's call it, I think I got paid $10,000 to do a handful of videos for this random product, right? And I'm like, sweet, I've got my first bag. Let's do this content. The client loved the content. And then we posted it and it absolutely flopped. I mean, I'm talking, I was doing millions of views a week and this video did like 2,000 views, zero clicks to my bio and zero sales. And I was like, damn. That's sad. That's not only sad for you guys that you just invested in me. It's sad for me that I just, quote unquote, scammed you and took your money and nothing happened. So I kind of dialed back and I was like, okay, there's got to be a better way to integrate my knowledge in advertising, like traditional advertising. And obviously, let's define traditional advertising today because means a lot of things. But like when I say traditional advertising, I mean making a video and running it online. I think most people would call it like running TV ads or even mailers. But so I was like, okay, there's this side of it where you give brands more opportunity to make their investment back. And then there's the other side of it where brands want to work with influencers. So I kind of just married the two. And my next brand deal, I was like, look, I will post this organically. It could flop. And I just put that out there. I'm like, this could do nothing for your brand. You're still going to pay me the $10,000, $20,000, but this could do nothing for your brand. So what are we going to do next? I have this ad buyer that's a friend of mine. Let him run it as an ad for you. Not only is he going to run it as an ad for you, but we're going to design the content in a way that it suffices both audiences, both the organic audience and the paid audience. And that's by shooting different intros. That's by shooting different visuals. And so immediately in 2020, I was
one of the only people, I mean, I've never met another influencer that's ever thought like this. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm just saying I try my best to give every partnership the best chance at a return on investment. If they're going to pay me $20,000, I want to have a crystal clear route to them making 20, 30, 40 back. Where most influencers, and this is why influencing is a scam, the biggest scam that nobody talks about, is because they will take your money, post to their audience, get their engagement rate, and do no sales. Unless you are a hot mom with the assets, you will do no sales. And I promise that. I know brands and agency owners that have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on friends of mine and never made it back. And then they go, well, it's called awareness. I'm like, there's better way to generate awareness than your shitty TikTok of you unboxing their product in your kitchen. So that's the world I play in. Give brands a route to just making some money back. And again, no creators are really thinking this. They're thinking, how do I get the biggest bag possible?
I think the best influencers care that the brand partnership goes successfully. And I think like the best brands know that that's what they want to partner, the type of people that they want to partner with. So it's kind of like marrying those two. Because I know like the worst thing for me is like getting a brand to sponsor like my newsletter and then it doesn't do what we said it was do. Like, yeah, it's like the worst thing, but I always like trying to write like the best copy. And I only work with people that I believe in, so I can say it in a way that I know will work because I've used the product or I've been in that space before. But it's the worst feeling of like, but I don't think many influencers actually care that, oh, the brand didn't get a sale off of this. They're just saying, oh, I got that money off of it.
Like, look, if Mountain Dew is hitting you up, Mountain Dew doesn't need any influencers to push more sugar water at all. So like if Mountain Dew hits me up and they're like, yo, we've got this $45,000 budget, what can you do with it? I'm not thinking of selling Mountain Dew. I'm now in that regard of these multi-billion dollar brands, I'm thinking, how do I just make this shit go viral? And so there is this different, like, but I guess what I'm saying to you right now, Daniel, is that influencers are the most unaware people on the face of the planet. Most of them have never worked for a brand and ever hired an influencer. The second you hire an influencer is also the second you understand it's probably you're getting scammed out of your money. And I say, dude, I've hired thousands of influencers and it's always the dumbest bullshit, dude. It's so funny.
I think it's just like what you said, like you got to reshape what you do with the partnership. But yeah, like I think like, and what you're saying is like the traditional way that people have been doing influencer marketing is the wrong way of doing it. There is ways to work with creators and influencers like you, for example, where you can do UGC stuff. You can do like stuff that is like meant for their paid social. There's stuff that you know that is more of a long-term partnership that can help the brand tell a story. You can be the face of that brand because you believe in it. There's a lot of ways to do it, but there's also like those one-off posts where you're paying someone $1 million, it doesn't get anything, or like their audiences there. And there are very few creators that actually, my wife has worked for a lot of celebrity brands and seen in the back end that one post does not do some sales as this celebrity, but this niche celebrity, they could do one post and 5,000 sales comes off of that one.
But then my question is also like, why take the risk at finding that one person when paid media is so tried and, I mean, typically tried and true. You've got to get it right. You've got to have the right content. You have to have the right person running the content. But to me, it's like, you know, I started a brand last summer called Final Boss Sour, and we're doing thousands of sales every month, and it does not rely on my face. I'm quote unquote the face of the brand, sure, but like we have a long-term vision. Like I think about Logan Paul stepping away from Prime. I mean, now if he stepped away, they're big enough, but it's like
I can't be the face of Final Boss and then be the face of all these other brands. But what I can do is make ads for all these other brands. So I own Final Boss and then I own an ad agency on the side. I don't have to be the face of either for all of our partnerships to get sales because of how well traditional marketing works. And on both sides, we don't pay influencers anything because why take the risk of giving 10 people $5,000 when you're not going to make the 50, you're probably not going to make the 50 grand. Can you imagine spending 50 grand on Facebook ads?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it. I mean, Facebook ads and those type of things are 99% of the time, if you're trying to get direct sales off of something, is the way to go. What are ways that people should be working? Creators, influencers. I mean, people do work with you. So what are some ways that are actually good ways of doing quote unquote influencer marketing?
I think about marketing as a pendulum. And I think about what is every brand doing right now? What's the pitfall right now? It's UGC content. Everybody and their dog can make UGC content. TikTok is about to change in a very big way. For so long, it was this app where you could set up your iPhone and you didn't have to do anything. You could literally record yourself getting ready. You could record yourself swimming at the pool with no editing. Everybody can do that now. And I'm saying everybody can do that. So when I think about the pendulum, it started on, you know, Facebook was like all these high quality, well-edited videos. Then it swung back. TikTok became attractive. And I think it's on its way back to this higher produced thing. So what I'm doing as an agency owner is I'm looking for influencers that can make well-edited and higher produced content because UGC does not stand out as an ad anymore. Sure, it works and we do have it in a lot of our funnels, but it is just not standing out. You think about High Smile. They hammered and they were spending millions of dollars a day on ads for their toothpaste and it was all UGC content. So then everybody hops on that. So what I'm looking for is who are the influencers? Who are the creators that can actually make a well-scripted, well-designed video that then I can take as the brand and run that as an ad later, either through whitelisting on their Instagram and TikTok or just in my own business managers. I'm not looking for people who have high engagement rates. I'm not looking for people who, quote unquote, are on fire. You know, like when you go to somebody's TikTok and every video has a million views. I couldn't give a rat's ass about that because that is catering to an organic content. I'm looking for people who can just make a well-constructed video about my product that tricks people into watching more seconds of their video. And I try to do the same. I try to do the same with my own partnerships where, dude, people are so shocked when they hear like some revenue stats and I'm not here to disclose any of that information, but my engagement rate is astronomically horrendous. And yet I have structured my brand deals in such a way that it's a massive win and it's a massive return on investment if you work with me, even though my organic isn't bad. So there's so many ways to finagle the system here.
And I think that's the way that you can win as an influencer is figuring out ways on structuring your deals, on getting that ROI and figuring out where, what you can do to change because now people have realized that a lot of partnerships aren't great. Some people realize that they're not getting a return on investment, but they also see that they don't have trust with the audience yet. So they need a face that can produce, especially like,
yeah,
you're talking a lot of consumer to side too. Like B2B is a lot, that world is a way different world too, because a lot of them are B2B creators are like, experienced in their field and understand like be that whatever space like to say right. The social media manager at somewhere is like talking about social media marketing, you're going to trust her to buy a social media management platform because she uses it on a day-to-day basis. You're like,
yep,
someone getting a bag and you see it's an ad that they got a new handbag, it's kind of not as trustworthy as that unless it's like a partnership where like that person already was using that bag every single day of their life. And then like the brand was like, oh, I love you. Like, I'm going to pay you to keep wearing that brand. Like, that's a different type of part.
I mean, think about it this way. And this is another reason why it's a scam. If you take politics, if you heard the Trump administration or the Biden administration went out and just purchased all of these voices, Like they went out and they bought London Labs and they said, talk about XYZ. Like, let's pretend that's their product, right? Their political race is their product. Everybody would go up in flames, dude. And I know they do this behind the scenes. I mean, it's so obvious sometimes, but then why is it okay that like if the duct tape company, I've never heard of duct tape. Also, that looks so ratty. I'm so sorry for putting that on screen. Or this is better. I've got these flip flops. They're lobsters. Why is it okay that this lobster company that I've never heard of, never worn them, can reach out to me and then I can get on camera and be like, I love these. These are the best shoes I've ever worn. And I've never worn them. You look at the bottom and they're like unworn. It's so bad for society in so many ways. And in some aspects, we're okay with it. If it's a product, we're okay with it. But if it's politics or even worse, you talk about like the COVID vaccine. How many influencers were paid to talk about that? Who knows? And it's like, yeah, sometimes we just let things slide because it is just a flip-flop.
Yeah, and I also think there's the like the other side of the pendulum too. Like these brands who could make great ads and their product sucks and they paying the thing to survive. Like,
yeah,
like they go under too. Like you at the end of the day are the product they're buying as an influencer. So you're also like ruining your trust as a person if you're pushing something that you don't believe in or you wouldn't ever use. Or that's why like with even with my deals I do, like I have like a block list of brands I won't use. I only want to work with brands that I know I will definitely use or have used. I don't want to work with people who don't do those type of things. And I know like the success rate or like I've seen the back end of the ads and they've been doing good. So like I know they're successful and I don't want, if they're not successful, I feel so horrible. Like I'm like, how can we make this up and make the brand whole from this?
But that's, you know, that's a game you play too.
Yeah.
That and advertising. And like if you step into every conversation saying this is a test and thank you for testing this type of content with me or me. I think the brand partnership is a win regardless. Like one of the things I love to use, a line I love to use with failed ads is, well, did you like the content? And you know, 8 times out of 10, they're like, yeah, we love the content. We can't believe this didn't work. And then there's always ways to restructure the content. You know, we talk about just re-editing it with a different hook. You can save a line. There's just no creators out there that are like, willing to save. They're already paid. They already posted the video and it didn't work and they don't know where to go next. And I'm not shit talking on any creator specifically, by the way. It's more of an ignorance thing. They just don't know how advertising works, and that's okay. But what's weird is that we trust these influencers to be marketers when in reality, 9 out of 10 influencers, and do this, Daniel, with other influencers, ask them, why are you famous? Why do you have so many followers? 9 out of 10 can't answer that because of the way our algorithms work. A lot of the times our algorithms are just like so forgiving to a lot of different faces where you post a video of you putting on lobster shoes and all of a sudden you have 10 million followers. They don't know why, you know, and now they're, you know, they have to upkeep it, you know? So it's a really weird landscape that we live in.
Making videos can be a hassle. You have to do 100 takes. Editing is super complicated, and finding music is a pain. That's why we love Wistia. With Wistia, you can record yourself, your screen, or both. Edit videos like you edit Google Docs. Just highlight words and hit delete. Wistia even has music that auto-adjusts to the length of your video. Try Wistia for free at wistia.com/millennials. That's WISTIA.com/millennials.
I have a friend who does TikTok ads for a living, and she specifically helps like the creator write the script and write it as an advertisement for her like UGC ads or any partnership she does for them, because she knows that creators don't understand marketing. And then she said, do this video, it probably would flop, but she like writes the hook for them, make sure it's like it has like the correct storyline for them, and they're like people who use the product already. She normally goes after like customers of the be ready to use it. So they're not like influencers per se. They're more like just everyday people that she's using as a video on. But I do agree with you. I think it's a hard landscape and it's hard to navigate. And that's why it is a hard place to get an ROI if you don't understand it or you don't. So it's easier, way easier to just go put your money in a Facebook ad and get that ROI.
You got to test everything. I know a lot of brands that live and die off influencers, and I get that. You know, are they paying these influencers huge bags? Probably not. Are they more affiliate-based? Probably, which affiliate marketing is a turnoff for a lot of creators just because there's nothing up front, but you can make a huge back end. I think that's great for the UGC creator. I think people like me that play in the scripted space, the higher production space, that's very hard to take on because it takes a lot more effort to get these videos made. I'm a month on, a month off. So this month is my production month where we're shooting all of my social videos. And then next month will be a posting month, right? And it's like, I can't take affiliate marketing deals based off of that because I'm hiring crew, I'm hiring lighting, I'm renting studios, I'm doing all these things. Again, I'm not a hot mom that's set up in the kitchen getting millions of views. Like, that's just not my style. And I'm very jealous of people that can do that, but it's not my thing. It's not who I want to be. And it's also not part of my belief system. I believe the pendulum swinging back. I believe in 2 years' time, those moms that are making millions of dollars a year doing unboxing videos in their kitchen will cease to exist. And I hope we look back on this and I'm right, but who knows?
I also heard Josh Richards. He was saying that's why he was going into that high production.
Yeah, Cross Studios.
Yeah, and he just launched a newsletter, but he talked, one of the things he said is he's doubling down on episodic, high quality content, which is like you said, I think once it's everything in marketing, it's once everybody went to paid ads and they got convoluted, some people who went to direct mailers and stuff winning in that landscape because that people stop moving, they move money away from that. So it's just how intention goes. And humans are very good at filtering out sameness and very good at filtering out BS. So you got to be able to be very different to stand out in the feed, or very high quality to stand out of the feed, or very valuable to stand out of the feed. Otherwise, you're not going to stand out. And now everybody's doing that. And also the people who are winning on TikTok are the ones who have built in-depth followings before this even was a thing. They built that deep relationship. All the influencers that my wife follows are people that were way before or the beginning of TikTok or the beginning of Instagram that she's kept following for 10 years. It's not a new one that she discovered yesterday.
There's that quote that always floats around, if everybody's a superhero, nobody's a superhero, you know? And we're literally living in that right now where everybody's a superhero. You can set up your phone and shoot anything. And as long as you are consistent at it, you can build the following and you can make money. And to me, I'm I don't want to be that anymore. When TikTok started, I was doing the iPhone and the low quality shit because that was new and that stood out. That doesn't stand out anymore at all. So Josh Richards, I'm in that same boat. He's probably doing it better than I am, but it is when Josh Richards pops up and it's a higher quality video, hardly anybody on the internet right now can put together a set. Hardly anybody on the internet right now can write a script that's funny and intriguing. And that's where the pendulum swings. And then the whole onslaught of all these iPhone creators will be dead. They just will be. And if they don't get ahead of it by starting their own brands and learning how to make something a little bit higher produced, I mean, I'm excited for that day because I hope I survive another, another year of this content creation.
And it's a hard game. I think it's really hard. It's a hard game. And I think it's cool to see that marketing always goes back to history, right? So it's what worked before will work again. It just takes time to get that. And it just was on a different medium. That's why you see Netflix had a dip when all these people watching TikTok, and now people want these high quality shows. Netflix pops up again. So it's it's all the time that life goes through these dips, marketing goes through these dips. Even with paid advertising during COVID, it was great at the beginning. Then people started realizing it was not that great. And then now it's getting great again. And then just like goes back and forth. But the people who just stay long-term on that path usually are the ones like you're doubling down on this. And I bet you like doubling down now when it's really early is going to help you set you up for when it actually is like a big thing in a few years.
And it's so funny. A question I ask myself is like, you know, you hear about these CPMs of these creators that are making millions of dollars a year off of just their views, right? But then you see the biggest and the most viewed creators like Mr. Beast, Mark Rober, Logan Paul, Emma Chamberlain. I mean, I could probably name a few more, but you see these people who are actually who probably do make a killing. And this is the question I have for them and maybe for you is if that's the case that these creators are quote unquote making their whole ends meet off of their views, why are they starting brands? And so I asked myself that last year and I'm like, why am I chasing a high view count? If the best of the best and the most watched people on the face of the planet are starting companies, it's because either they're on to something and they believe that this view count can't sustain itself. But bigger than that, it's because these platforms have these massive dips. And so that's why I stepped away from my own content to start Final Boss Hour, because I'm actually building a real entity that has real value in the world. A lot of these algorithms hold no value to the world because one day I'm doing 100 million views a month and the next day I'm doing 1 million views a month. It's so unreliable. And so I plead creators and wannabe creators to like, don't chase a view count, chase an audience and chase a product.
These platforms are just ways to get attention and you need ways to bring them off the platform onto own places to get intentional audience. So like the way I think about social is just how do you get the most attention to bring them somewhere else? Like that's, I don't think about keeping the attention on the platform because that's how you get screwed. I think about like, how do I move them to a newsletter? How do I move them to a podcast? How do I move them to my event? How do I move them to these other places where I can like cultivate my own audience to eventually do what you said is like Ember Chamberlain built the stuff and now she's like taking all the coffee lovers that followed her off the platform and have making them buy her coffee. Like it's just like the smart way of like knowing that the platform, you can't rely on a rented land to build something. Like you can't rely on that. Like when you own a house, if you're paying your bills, you know you're not going to get kicked out. When you're renting an apartment, if that owner wants to like sell it to someone else, you're out. It doesn't matter what happens. So
you gotta own something. And these platforms have tricked billions of people into thinking they own something. When in reality, if YouTube goes, yeah, advertising budgets are just ass lately. We're not doing this CPM thing anymore. That destroys hundreds of millions of lives immediately. TikTok goes down, right? That's kind of in the news again. You know, I don't think it will, but that goes down. I mean, that sucks. And if you asked me this 2 years ago, I would have been like, please don't go down TikTok. So you gotta really think about exactly keep taking the attention outside of, you know, your little view count on TikTok.
I think it's important to know how to get that view count on TikTok and what works and what wants. Yeah, like it's important to know that. But knowing that is just your, like I call it like the Costco sampler. Like it's like that taste of what more you can do as a creator. That's why like people do great things on TikTok to drive them to like their full YouTube video or their full this video or their full this where they can, or their podcast where they can consume more and understand them as a creator. It's hard because depth is really hard now on a short form platform. It's hard to build that relationship. A podcast, a YouTube, a newsletter, a business, all these things are in-depth relationship building things where you can build a relationship with a person. And that's why I'm more bullish. I'm bullish on social for attention and I'm bullish on these other things for building relationships.
Yeah, yeah. No, I really like how you put it. And I've put it like this. I make videos. That's who I am. I make videos, and these platforms are just where they get posted, right? So it's like I have this hard skill that I can do with or without these arbitrary things.
That's why I think B2B creators have like a very good advantage, because like your hard skill is like, my hard skill is like writing content, being a marketer, doing marketing ops. The other stuff is just like where I'm sharing that knowledge, and I can change where I share that knowledge anywhere, or I can go back and do marketing, like if I really want to. But like if you can't, your honing skill is like unboxing videos in the kitchen. Like it's a little hard. Like
it's hot right now. You're a millionaire right now, and that's sick. Set up for retirement now.
Yeah, like Keith, don't spend that money. Like invest.
Don't spend that money. And I've been through the biggest waves of brand deals and the lowest lows of brand deals, where it's like I'm having 50K months, and then a year later you're having $2,500 months. Like it'll happen to every creator that isn't attaching themselves to their own brands and having full ownerships. And I kind of figured that out way too late. Not way too late. I feel like I'm right on time in a lot of ways, but it's like, man, while shit's hot, you feel good. You feel great. And then it can turn off like that.
The life cycle of like a creator is very short if they don't know how to.
Yeah. What is it? I think it's like 8 months or something.
Like there's some smart creators out there, like the Josh Richards of the world, like the you of the world, like the Emma Chambers of the world, that understand that like this is a vehicle to drive other things.
Dude, off the rip, Google says the lifespan of a person with 1 million followers is 12 months. And you think how hard it is to get 1 million followers in today's world? Like, I mean, it's kind of both easy and hard at the same time, but that's sad to hear for a lot of wannabe creators, because you hear this million follower mark as like you've made it, kind of, right? Like I would say a lot of people, kind of civilians, believe that, like, well, if I can get to 1 million followers, I'll have it made. Yeah, for 12 months.
I mean, it's also the same thing for football player, like all these like big, like, yeah, like football players is like 3 years. Like an NFL career is like 2 and a half years. NFL
lifespan.
It's like these big things where you work your whole, like work so hard to achieve like a huge goal. Like if you don't capitalize in that moment, it's going to be hard to do that. That's why you need those other skills, or the skill like your video creation, where you can use it. Like there's always going to be a video platform out there, and video is always going to be used. So that skill is going to be transferable anywhere, and if you know how to write a good hook, you know how to tell a good story, you know how to write a good script, you know how to do all those, you know how to edit videos, you know how to, why people watch videos and the psychology behind it, you always could win. But if you don't know that stuff, you're just in a losing game. What is a marketing hill you would die on?
Oh my gosh. What did you think I was going to say? Maybe it'll
spark it. That influencer marketing is a scam.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Dude, I don't know if I would die on that per se. I would just, there's rules to it. I think there's a playbook that nobody follows. Like I have a buddy who's trying to start a company and they're hiring all these influencers. I'm like, you're going to pay them to post? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, their budgets are pretty high. I'm like, damn, you think you're going to make all that back? And they're like, 100%. Their engagement rate is XYZ. I'm like, no. No. But another hill I would die on is paid media in whatever form that takes, because you have so many, you get nothing back from paying an influencer, but when you put money into platforms and don't get sucked into it, but when you put it into a platform, you get all this data back and information that you can use moving forward that you just couldn't with an influencer. You know, like what good is knowing you're posted 15K likes?
The best way I describe like paid marketing is guaranteed distribution to your target audience. That's what.
Right. And regardless if they purchase or not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like an influencer, like an organic post is based on algorithm, and you can't really say, you could do it by the creative, like targeting by like, oh, I'm doing a marketer video and blah, blah, blah. And I'm targeting marketers in this video, but it's, You can't switch on gears and be like, I want this post to be seen by marketers that are this and this and this and this. But you can do that there.
It's a complete shot in the dark. And guess what? Sometimes it works really well for brands.
There are some influencer partnerships that work, but I agree with you. I think like most brands don't know the playbook and most influencers don't know the playbook. And the ones, the influencers know the playbook and the brands that know the playbook are the ones that are really winning in the space. And the ones who don't know the playbook or know how to utilize influencers or creators in the right way are, because I know some brands who are crushing it with,
of course,
with influencers, but I also know brands who are just blowing money. And usually the ones who are blowing, like, you can't look at, when you're a small brand, look at like you said, Mountain Dew, and try to do the same thing as Mountain Dew is doing. Like that, like when you're a small brand, you have to be very tough with your budget and how you're doing
things. Yeah, it's like a first-time coach playing with a first-time quarterback. Are they going to win 80 games? Probably not. But if you have a very experienced coach with a first-time quarterback, you would probably win some games. And inverse, if you have a very experienced quarterback with a first-time coach, you probably win some games. But most brands are a first-time coach and most influencers are a first-time quarterback. And just like humping a doorknob, you might open the door. I don't know.
Lastly, where can people find what you're doing and follow your journey?
I fracture myself in a few different ways. On my Instagram, it's more of my online personality. So you're going to see a lot of my scripted pieces, movie scene recreations. We just did a whole music video recreation. So if you're into more of like the content creator life, Instagram and TikTok is where you need to find me, London Laz. But if you're into like this style of conversation, all on my LinkedIn. I post very frequently throughout the week, just insights from a creator's perspective, from a marketing perspective. And LinkedIn and Instagram, I'd say.
You don't see many creators who come from a background of marketing and then know how to do the other side of it, which is why you don't see a lot of brands who have good followings on like organic and have a great paid, unless you're like a big brand that can pay someone.
Yeah. So once you know how to do it, it's easy. Like I built my... my Final Boss Hour YouTube page to 118,000 followers in 4 or 5 months. So it's like, and I would say that's the same with a marketer. If a marketer knows how to spend and make money online, they can probably do it for everyone else that they work with, right? You need to do it once and whatever it takes to do it once.
The secret is being in Spy Kids. Like, I think that is the hack.
Being in Spy Kids, Elon Musk funding all of my projects, and Katana. Yep. Exactly. That's all you need.
Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great.
Appreciate you.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to hear more great insights from marketing's coolest operators. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the Marketing Millennials podcast and giving it a 5-star rating. It helps bring more marketers into our community.